And the Rishonim is if Emunah is a mitzvah or not. Now everybody agrees that Emunah is absolutely a requirement. The question is it technically a mitzvah? Many Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Ramban, say it's a mitzvah. Others, like the Bahag, the Rebbeinu Kreska, say, no, it doesn't really make sense that it should be a mitzvah. It doesn't make sense because either I believe already, in which case I don't need there to be a mitzvah, and if Rachmana Litzlan, I don't believe, so mitzvah is not going to make me believe. Saying thou shalt believe is not going to give anybody emunah. But that's not really an important question for our purposes because everybody agrees emunah is extraordinarily important and the pinnacle and the basis of all of Torah. Now, if it is a mitzvah, though, what is the source for this mitzvah? Where is the pasuk that tells you you have to have emunah? You want to know? Give you a hint. We're going to read it on the first day of Shavuos, Kriyas HaTorah. All right, well, we'll look in the Rambam. The first source on the top right. HaMitzvah HaRishona, this is from the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, Hi HaTzivui Asher Tzivanu Lahamin HaAlokuhus, V'hu Shinamin Shiyesh Sham Ila V'siba, Hu Poel L'kol HaNimtzayim V'hu Amru Yisborach Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the source for the mitzvah of Emunah is the Pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's not stated in Lashon Tzivui as a commandment, which is the reason why, as I said before, there's somewhat of a dispute whether technically it's a mitzvah or not. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Seisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim is the mitzvah of Emunah. The Rambam defines that as believing that there is a source, there's a God who is the source for all that exists. And that is the mitzvah of Emunah. Now, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes the mitzvah is Emunah. But if you look at the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam formulates the mitzvah a little bit differently. Yesod ha-yesodos, ve'amud ha-chachmos, leida sheyesha matzui rishon. The foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom is to know that there's a matzui rishon, we could call that a first cause, a cause for all else that exists. Vumamtzi kol nimtza, he's the source for all that exists. And in the next couple of halachos, the Rambam does something interesting. We don't have time to read it together, but we know the mitzvah is to believe in God. Well, what is God? So the Rambam, in a certain sense, defines God. Not that we could understand God, but gives us a definition to understand the mitzvah of emunah. And at the end of that halacha, he writes, v'yediyas davar zeh, and knowing this, mitzvah saseh shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, what's different about the formulation of the mitzvah over here in the Mishnah Torah versus Sefer HaMitzvos? In Sefer HaMitzvos, what was the mitzvah? What word? Emunah. What's the mitzvah in Yesodei HaTorah and Hilchos Mishnah Torah? What does he define the mitzvah as? Yediyah. Correct. Now, that difference might relate to the fact that it's a mistranslation in Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic, and there are some translators who think that in Sefer HaMitzvos as well it should be translated as Leida, or it could be that there are two aspects. That is an approach that other Achronim take. But one way or the other, we have a mitzvah of Emunah / Yediyah. So the Rambam understands it's not enough to just believe, but to actually know. Knowledge implies a number of things, among others, certainty. I know certain things. Well, one of the things that I must know, I must be certain about, is the existence of God. That is the mitzvah of Emunah / Yediyah. So that brings us to the question that we're going to be considering today, which is, how do I know? What is the basis of my Emunah and Yediyah? So we'll start with the next source, which is from another Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, who tells us how the first Maimon came to his Emunah. Maybe he wasn't the first, but certainly he was our founder, Avram Avinu. So how did Avram Avinu come to believe in God? And this is especially extraordinary because we know, of course, that Avram Avinu lived in a world where almost nobody believed in God. It was a world of Avodah Zarah. So how does Avram come to believe in God in a world where nobody else does? How does he discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes, Kevan shenigmal etan zeh, hischil eshote bedato, when he was weaned, he began, in other words, as a young child, he began to ask questions, he began to wonder. Fu katan v'schil achshol v'yom uv'alayla v'haya tamea. Heach efshar sheyiye hagalgal hazeh noheg tamid v'lo yelo manhig umi yisavev oso. Ki efshar sheyisavev es atzmo v'lo haya lo fai. What does that mean? Very simple question. Avraham Avinu looks around and he sees an incredible world. And he said, well, what is the cause of this world? Why does it exist? What started it all? Rambam uses a phraseology that reflects his particular conception of the universe. How could the sphere rotate without there being a rotator? But it doesn't matter too much for our purposes how you phrase that question. It's a very fundamental question. And it's a question that anybody could ask. You don't have to be a philosopher to wonder, why do I exist? Why does the world exist? Why does anything exist? And the Rambam, Avraham Avinu, as he begins to think more and more about this question, concludes that there is no other possible answer other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. Right? If you just think about it reasonably, honestly, there must be something that started it all. Even if you say X caused Y, Y caused Z, but what started it? There has to be a reason. And the Rambam continues here. He speaks very poetically. We don't have time to read the whole presentation. But the Rambam writes about how, as a young child, he asked this question. We know, of course, that some Midrashim say Avraham discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu at 3, others at 40. The Rambam solution is that he began to think about the question at the age of 3, and he became 100% convinced of the truth at the age of 40. And the Rambam very powerfully describes the path and the trajectory that the Rambam, that Avraham Avinu took until he came to his absolute conviction of God's existence. And this Rambam really comes from a Medrash in Chazal, which is at the bottom right of the page. So, we asked before, how does a person come to Emuna? How does a person come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emuna, Yediyah, and the like? So the Rambam tells us that at least Avraham Avinu came to it through asking very simple questions about the universe. A person can come to belief in God, and certainly they can strengthen their belief in God if they are fortunate enough to have been born into a position where they've been taught that God exists. So one of the things that we'll see is that emunah is not just a question of yes or no. There are dargos in emunah. A person can have deeper and deeper emunah, and one way in which a person can come to emunah, as well as a way that a person can deepen emunah, is by looking at the world, looking at the universe, looking at the big picture, the stars, looking at the little picture, a cell, the complexity of a cell, the complexity of every living being, the complexity of the eye. The Sefer Chazon Ish, Emuno Bitachon, writes at great length about the incredible complexity of the eye, and how contemplation of that incredible complexity is something that can bring a person to deeper and deeper faith. So the Rambam writes that one way to come to Emunah is through examining our universe. And if we do so, and we're honest, we'll come to a Hakar V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the source in the top left, it's not just Emunah. The Rambam powerfully writes, Heyach hi haderech la'avaso v'yiraso. We all know there's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yerushamayim. So Avas Hashem and Yerushamayim are among the hardest mitzvahs. We're told we have to love God. Love Hashem. What does it mean? Because, of course, we know we can't see Him, we can't touch Him, we can't hear Him, We can't feel him. How do you love something like that? So the Rambam writes about this in a number of places. In different places, he gives different suggestions. Elsewhere, for example, he writes about the role of Talmud Torah. But here, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, he writes like this. How do you come to Ahava Nira? B'shah she'is bonin ha'adam b'maisav uvruav ha'niflaim ha'gedolim. When a person contemplates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible, awesome creations, the Yira Mehem Chachmaso She'en La'erech V'Lokates, and a person sees in them infinite wisdom, Miyad Hu Ohev U'Mishabeach U'Mifayer U'Misavetava Gedola Leida Hashem HaGadol. Kimosh Amar David Tzamanafshi Lelokim L'Kelchai. He's filled with an incredible desire and yearning to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kshemachashe b'dvarim ha'elu atzman, miyad hu nirta l'achora v'yira v'yifache v'yeda shubir yaktana shfela fela omid b'das kala me'uta lefnei tmim deos. Kemo shamar David, ki eresh amecha ma'aseh etzbosecha ma'enosh kises kirena. Subsequently or simultaneously, he also feels a feeling of incredible smallness. Right? When you look at the universe, you feel both close to the Creator, a desire to come close, but also you realize how small you are. And so a person has simultaneously these two emotions, the emotion of Avas Hashem, the emotion of Yerushalayim. The Rambam, very interestingly, in the next halacha, Hilchos Rotzeach, we're not going to get into the details now, there's not enough time, but the Rambam here is writing about how if a person is involved in the mitzvah of teaching their child, certain halachos apply. And he writes, third line, aval kedei lelamdo Torah, o chachma, o umnus, then that's begeder shas asiyas ha-mitzvah. So there's a mitzvah for a parent to teach his child Torah. So that's pretty straightforward. Umnus, what's umnus? A trade. It's a mishnah in Kiddushin. A parent has the obligation to teach their child a trade so that they could earn a parnasa. It's important to earn a living, and that's one of a parent's responsibilities. But the Rambam here has three categories: Torah, Chachma, or Umnas. So what's Chachma if not Umnas? So Chachma is what we've been seeing. And that's because, as we've seen, Chachma can play an incredibly important role in our Avodas Hashem. Now, it's not automatic. The Rambam tells you that if you study science, you can come to a love and a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think there are a lot of scientists who don't love and fear Hashem. Depends a lot on your attitude. And a person has to be honest with themselves. If a person says, I'm studying science because it brings Ava Hashem, and it doesn't, so then I don't think it's a kiyum of what the Rambam is describing over here. It might be valuable for another reason. Maybe umnus. Maybe practical. But the Rambam over here is writing that the pursuit of Chachma, including and especially the contemplation of the universe, is something that could bring a person to Amunah, it could bring a person to Avas Hashem, it could bring a person to Yirat Shamayim. It's something that has a very important role, or can have a very important role, in our Avodas Hashem. Of course, it's secondary to Talmud Torah, and we don't have time to explore that point now, though the Rambam makes that clear elsewhere, but it can play a very important role in our Avodas Hashem, and especially in Emunah. That's the Mahalach of the Rambam. Now, there are those who disagreed with the Rambam about this point. Nobody disagrees about the importance of Emunah, but they disagreed about the point as to whether science, proof, philosophy plays an important role in Emunah. And among them is the Kuzari. Kuzari is written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. It's about the dialogue that might have taken place between the king of the Khazars, and first he invited a Christian scholar, a Muslim scholar, a philosopher to discuss religion. Later he invites the Jewish Rav, and eventually, and this actually happened, the king of the Khazars converts to Judaism along with a lot of his nation. But so Rambam was offended. So the Sefer Kuzari is a lot about emunah, and he writes like this. Hine nisbar li ha-hefesh bein ha-shemos Elokim v'Hashem. What he's saying here is that, does the Torah refer to God as God? Maybe in Hebrew we would say Elokim. Not for the most part. We call Hashem Hashem. Now Hashem means the name, but he has a name. And he says this is a remarkable thing. If you look at other religions, they call God God. We have a name. What does a name reflect? It reflects an essence, correct. So, but even more, right, it's a relationship as opposed to a position, right? A relationship as opposed to a position. The idea is that we, in a kavyachol, right, when you have a friend, you don't call them, you call them by their name, not, hi friend, right? Not by their title. We have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just that he exists. And that's the significance of the Shem Havaya. And he writes, Ma v'avinosi, ma rav ha-merchak ben Elokei Avraham uven Elokei Aristo. I understand the gap between the God of Abraham and the God of Aristotle. Now let's try to understand what this means. Let's imagine a person goes ahead and they study science and they study philosophy and they prove that God exists. Great. Do they have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. They know there's this thing called God, and God exists. He might even prove that he created the world. Amazing. That's Elokei Aristo, the God of Aristotle. You can use science and philosophy to prove God's existence. But that's not what Judaism is about. That's not what Torah is about. Torah is about a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Proving that he exists through science and philosophy doesn't create a relationship. You're missing the boat. That's the difference between Avraham and Aristotle. And he says later, I guess we don't have time to read these quotes, he says, maybe Avram did initially discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu through science and philosophy and the questions, like the Medrash says, like the Rambam says. But it didn't stop there. There was a conversation. There was a relationship. Science, philosophy are valuable in emunah at step one. But if you stop at step one, if all you have is, I know God exists, and I could tell you four proofs for his existence, okay? Here they are. One is because anything exists, and two, great, God exists. But that's not what we're looking for. That's not what the Torah is about. And therefore, and the Rambam certainly exists, agrees to this, that you talked about Avanira, those are emotions, right? Therefore, it's not enough to just prove he exists. I was told that we're supposed to speak about Rav Soloveitchik, so there's a tremendous quote in Rav Soloveitchik, quoting for somebody else actually, but that expresses this idea of the Kuzari. The next source, does the loving bride in the embrace of her beloved ask for proof that he is alive or real? Must the prayful soul clinging in passionate love and ecstasy to her beloved demonstrate that he exists? Right? For someone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to then start asking for proof, scientific proof, it's like you're hugging someone And you say, do they exist? That's a good question, right? No, you're hugging them. You're in passionate embrace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't start clarifying, let me prove. That's what the Kuzari is saying. Is proof using science? I'm not going to say there's no value. But for someone who's a maimon, for someone who has a relationship, to start looking for proof is like wondering if the thing that you're hugging is real. You know they're real because you're hugging them. Kaviyachol with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a relationship with him. It's very interesting. And this is not the... This could be understood in a number of ways, but just an insight. If you look at the Or HaChaim at the bottom right of page 2, this is from not the Or HaChaim HaKadosh you're used to, it's from the Chassid Yaivitz, who was from those who were expelled from Spain in 1492. And he writes that if you look around at those who left Spain, so the people who are great philosophers and believers in God due to philosophy, so for the most part, they did not stand up to the ultimate test. Kulam himiru kvodam biomar. And that's because, you know, if I go ahead and the Kuzari says a similar point. Now let's imagine the President of the United States passes a new law that everybody has to affirm their belief that triangles have 181 degrees, and if not, their head's going to be chopped off. Now you might be sure that it's wrong, but you're not going to necessarily give your life up for that, right? If you have a relationship with something, then it's worth Mesiras Nefesh. And he says, V'hanashim v'ami ha'aretz, the people who had simple emuna, they weren't scientists and they weren't philosophers, they were masru gufam umimonam al kedushas boram. Now, we're basically out of time, but we've been talking about emuna, and what have we seen? We've been talking about the very important role that considering science and the world around us plays in bringing a person to emunah and even strengthening a person in emunah. We talked about the limitations of that approach. What other sources of emunah can we consider? So there's a tremendous essay written by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein on the topic of emunah. And if we had time, we would read it together. I gave you a couple of paragraphs, but to take one line, the greatest source of faith, however, has been God himself. It's our encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that often prove much more powerful in terms of emunah than perhaps the technical proofs. Now, that's not to say that technical proofs aren't valuable and they don't play a role in bringing a person to emunah and even strengthening their emunah. But it's really the encounters that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are the source for many people of the greatest source of their emunah. Now, what do I mean by encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, personal encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, I imagine that none of us are Nevi'im, so we don't have that type of direct personal encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps the greatest possible personal encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu a human could have is Nevuah, and we hope that the restoration of prophecy will come very soon. But just because there is no Nevuah nowadays, it doesn't mean we can't have encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To read on in that paragraph, encounter, of course, has been varied. In part, it has been channeled primarily through Torah, the Me'or Sheba that Chazal speak of. Meaning to say, one powerful way of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Talmud Torah. When we learn We feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. We understand Him. We feel close to Him. It's something that can't quite be explained. Maybe in some ways you can. Sometimes you learn an incredible Rambam or a Gemara or Reb Chaim and you're like, wow, wow. This is clearly min hashamayim. It's overwhelming and it's MS, it's brilliance. But I think more often than not, it's not something you necessarily notice consciously. But it's something that happens when you learn. Or daven. Or do mitzvos. It could be random moments of illumination. You're in a crowded bus, or you see children playing in a park, and you have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Rambam is describing before. And I think that when we talk about emuna, and I guess we're out of time, but very briefly, it's very important, you know, in investment, the advice is diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So for those of you who can't afford to invest yet, but the same thing is true for emuna, which is that emuna is complex, and it includes many things. I once asked one of my rebbeim about this, like what ways bring a person to emunah. So he said, you know, if it's like asking me why I love my wife. You have to, there are lots of different pieces, and ultimately those pieces come together to create something that's much greater than any one of those pieces alone. So, I think that studying science can play an incredibly important role in concretizing our faith in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just science, all matters of Chachma, history especially. Anyone who studies history is overwhelmed by the incredible Hashgacha. It's not just studying science in a book, but seeing science. Seeing an incredibly beautiful mountain or a river. But it's many things. Studying Torah, it's considering the hashkacha that we've experienced in our own lives. It's when we see an incredible person and we see how Torah brings a person to shleimos she'ein kamohu. You see someone who's truly a baal chesed or baalas chesed and you see how they came to that through Torah. That's something that's incredibly powerful in bringing a person closer to Torah. And in tefillah, in singing, and the like, we have to look for those opportunities. And when we experience them, we have to capitalize on them. And with all that, Ezra Hashem will be zocha to be mekayim the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, both lahamin and leida.